podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Thank you for spending part of your Tuesday with us alongside Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We have bonus Tech Talk on the way. Gus, we're just getting started. You can't be already tired.
I yawn every time this time of day, right?
We'll have Rangers baseball coming up for you at 6:30 here on Double T 97.3. Also have Astros baseball for you at 6:40 on 100.7 The Score. Now Clint is yawning.
I saw someone yawn.
If you guys want to intro the show, if my intro is too boring, by all means.
You want to restart it? I can.
You're just the guy to do that.
Yeah. I'll bring some more oomph.
Yesterday, AD talked about needing professional sleepers, right, Clint?
Mm-hmm. That's right, from Casper.
Casper. Exactly. Yeah, they're looking for professional sleepers. I think that is an audition, pal. That's what they call this. Us yawning our way through your blather.
Blather.
That's an audition.
Wow. All right, let's restart this.
Ready for round two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, here we go.
Solving life's mysteries one at a time.
Right, we're just kind of stumbling around in the wilderness.
I was going to say meandering through the lilacs.
Yeah, okay, that too.
Drifting
meandering,
through the meadow.
Stumbling, frolicking. I mean, just
frolicking the in the meadow.
Yeah.
This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today. Until 6:30, we'll have bonus Tech Talk headed your way. Because the Rangers will play the Astros tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have dueling broadcasts for you here on our family of stations. Here on Double T 97.3, we'll have the Rangers broadcast. That begins at 6:30. Over on 100.7, The Score, beginning at 6:40, we'll have the Astros version of that broadcast. First pitch is the same no matter what station you listen to, 7:10 p.m. Central Time. And again, we'll have it for you here on Double T 97.3 and 100.7 The Score. I didn't see any yawns. It must have been better.
Hey, can you bring it down? I'm trying to sleep in here.
Yeah. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments in the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. You can also access that through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline, lots to get to today on the program. We have some data trickling out, some numbers leaking out from the Big Ten and its new media deal. It's looming on the horizon.
Yep.
It's coming this week, it seems.
It's the next big thing.
It is the next big thing, and it's the next gigantic thing.
Yeah.
Based on some of the numbers, we'll get to that throughout the program today. We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. The cactus looks like it's telling the guy from TC what he can do. It does look noticeably better since you first began putting it outside over the weekends.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Do you consider
you must
yourself,
be really watering it well.
Do you view yourself as someone with a green thumb?
No. But I think... I know that cacti need sunshine.
Where'd you learn that, Gus?
Well,
is that just walking around knowledge? Did you like read up on this as we adopted a cactus?
I think
in our Double T family.
Yeah, I think we established yesterday that I'm an amateur cactophile.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if cactophile is better than cactologist.
Cactologist. Well, cactologist might imply actual formal education. Cactophile means I've just got a passion for the cacti.
Mm-hmm. I assumed maybe it was like the Tin Man and you walked by and it was like, sunshine.
that's I was just kind of thinking about this room sort of dark. The word is that these are state-of-the-art LEDs, so there's probably not anything that's really helping the poor cacti.
What do you think is the...
And then you clowns are dumping everything but the RC Cola into the thing.
I'm not going to waste RC Cola.
We're watering it like it's a cantaloupe.
What do you think the difference between like state-of-the-art LEDs and just kind of run-of-the-mill LEDs?
I don't know.
You think we could tell the difference?
No, like, we...
Like
the two of us? No.
Oh, yeah.
No shot. clown show.
I'm generally very, like, you know, forward thinking, you know, and I'm willing to embrace kind of, you know, some level of change, not my own personal schedule, not at all, actually the exact opposite of that, but in terms of like, hey, you know, now we do this, or, you know, now we do that. Two things I will never bend to, though. I will never, ever, like, be okay with it. Paper straws, right? I don't care about those turtles. I really don't. Or the dolphins. And then also, and I'm not, like, doing anything about it, but the old-time Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah, the old bulbs, yeah.
Way better than LED.
I've still got some of those, yeah, that are put into service every year.
Those are way better.
They're hotter, too, if you grab one of them. You reach down there and go, hey, just move that one over there. You better not grab it by the bulb.
Generally, don't want to ever grab anything by the bulb.
Is this why, before we started the show, you're like, for every day we still have straws that are made of paper, I will personally choke out a turtle to prove my point?
Oh, I've got a box of them at home. I just pick one out. Yeah, it's like Thanos. Just snap my finger.
Come here, Leonardo. It's your time.
Who's next?
Yeah, like, because I was in L.A. like last week, and it was Paper Straw City, and it was just the worst.
See, they don't bother me, but I guess it's, I mean, I think the idea there is that you're a straw's in service for how long? About 30 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I guess if you kept the old same old ratty straw a day, it probably does get break down, mushy.
Yeah, just it sticks to your. It's just terrible. It's
does
just,
it really after that short of a, like in a in
either,
a,
they, like in lips, a ski. You have two options with a paper straw, right? Go at it with dry lips, right? All right, and then it just feels weird, all right? Or and it kind of gets sticky, like your lips stick to the straw. Or you go on with moist lips, right? And the straw tip gets really soggy. It's a no-win situation. It's the Kobayashi Maru.
Aaron Moist Lips Dickens.
That's been the horse name.
What was your strategy out of all those options?
Kind of a medium
just
moisture.
Take notes and complain about it on my radio
just
show.
Take like, the straw out of the drink and tip it up and drink it in the traditional.
The mustache makes that very difficult. I actually have to... I don't like keeping the mustache like super like neat and trim, you know? Kind of feel like if you're going to have a mustache, you know, like it's not going to...
Unlike his back hair.
Right, no.
In which he said you and I can carve our initials.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's,
I don't care.
He's
don't
already said that.
I'm going to shave a paper straw.
I think you lose something with a mustache if you kind of make it like super kind of symmetrical. It needs to be wild, right? Yeah. It needs to have some like... some mystery to
you
it.
You want to look like a relief pitcher, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. So, I don't know how to take that. So,
no, I mean, that's not a bad thing.
If I'm drinking something that doesn't have a straw, beer, whatever, I almost need to have my own separate napkin just for, like, post-drink mustache dabbing.
What did you mean by mystery? Like, is that mustache hiding something in there, or?
What do you mean?
You said there needs to be some mystery to the mustache.
Yeah. Some unevenness.
Like,
some,
is there a pencil in there, or I wonder?
Not yet. Maybe someday. That'd be a good idea.
A portal under that mustache?
No.
Like
no portals.
The two portals are above the mustache.
Yeah. Anyways, it's Tuesday. This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Paul. Just don't use a straw. Mustache makes that very difficult.
Yeah.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's the Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today from the First United Bank Double T 97.3 studio. With you until 6:30. Time for some headlines. Texas Rangers are in action tonight. They're hosting, or they're playing the Houston Astros in Houston. First pitch from Minute Maid Park is at 7:10 p.m. Central Time. Rangers are 48-60. They were off yesterday. Over the weekend, they split a four-game series with the Chicago White Sox 2-2.
Speaking of those White Sox, Davis Martin getting the start in game two of the doubleheader today in Kansas City for the White Sox. Yeah, so have to keep an eye on that.
We'll have the Rangers version of this broadcast for you coming up at 6:30. And the Astros version of the broadcast coming up at 6:40 on 100.7 The Score. A couple of Texas Tech-related bits of news from the NFL today, but unfortunately neither of them are positive. Jakeem Grant, former Texas Tech receiver, who is now with the Cleveland Browns, was carted off the field today during one-on-one drills with an apparent left leg injury. And apparently the fear is it might be an Achilles, which is about worst-case scenario if you are a professional athlete. Entering his seventh professional season, although unlikely he'll compete in this season if it is an Achilles. He signed a three-year deal with Cleveland in March.
And there may be more difficulty to that than an ACL now.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, a lot like the elbow Tommy John deal has gotten to be, you know, something that's a little easier than shoulders and all that kind of thing. That the ACL's that same way for the knee, but man, Achilles, woo. And nobody ever has said that's an easy rehab.
And then Jonathan Garibay, who agreed to an undrafted free agent deal with the Dallas Cowboys earlier this year, former Texas Tech kicker, has been waived. He had not had the best training camp so far. And so the Cowboys are moving on from Jonathan Garibay, which, you know, obviously is not great.
Yeah, and that was really getting talked about. That was part of the story that he was really presenting no real kicker competition there. Just really struggled through camp. That's tough.
Serena Williams announced that her tennis career is winding down in a first-person essay on Vogue.com on Tuesday. And you sent this to me because you're a frequent visitor to Vogue.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
She suggested that the U.S. Open could be her final tournament.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that? She says she didn't like using the word retirement and instead preferred evolution.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's fair. We're all evolving in that case, right?
That's true. You too can join the program. We would love to hear from you today. Let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com or through the TT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. What do you think of this, Gus? We get this from PJ on the chat line. AD, can you arrange a 3-on-3 game between Clint and his merry men versus the Tech basketball team? Clint, Jeff, and Jackson think they can score 6 points on the men's team. Clint, would you like to clarify? Surely this is not your stance. This is ridiculous.
One of those three thinks that, yes. Jackson, J6 Mafia, thinks he's dropping at least 6 points by himself. I laid out this example.
And in what time frame? We're like first one to 21? Playing 48 minutes or what?
We're playing half court, first one to 50, twos and threes. And I said you could pick, my view, you could pick any three, top to bottom of the roster. Doesn't matter. We're not scoring a single point on them. Jackson thinks he's scoring at least six. Jeff McGuire thinks we can draw a foul and also has the confidence to hit a free throw, which why would be doing free throws in a pickup game. But, one of those three thinks we're getting at least six. The sane one over here behind the mic thinks we're getting slaughtered, and it's not even close.
Dude, I haven't really been given any thought here, but the level of athlete isn't letting you guys get off a shot.
No, well,
unless I'm missing something about you guys.
No, I said that. That's the stipulation, too. Mark Adams is over there saying they don't gain another yard to these guys.
Well, to me, it's even more basic than that, right? Like, how many trips up and down the court, I guess the half court, how much running around will they be able to do before their hands on their knees air?
And then they're just...
How many possessions? And I'm saying that as someone who would be right there with them.
This is not let me say, but a
but
team
I'm also
of,
not volunteering to play a 3-on-3 game.
But a team of Aaron and I would fare much better. There's none of that going on here.
Yeah,
us three.
We're getting 10, right?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, 10,
no, yeah.
10 popped Achilles.
I've seen that brought up now because this conversation was like 3 weeks ago and people on saying, did you hear what Clint said? I said we are not getting a point.
But that's where you're judged by the company you keep, pal.
It's going to be like, you know, when they show NBA stars and they're at a camp with their kid who's like 4 and like, watch this NBA star swat his son. It's hilarious. That's what that 3-on-3 game is going to look like.
Maybe Fardaw's AMAC will like pick one of you up and let you score like in those camps, right? Just pick one of you up and let you slam dunk, and then everybody will be clapping. Look at that.
Mr. Fardaw, will you let me score a point, please?
Yeah, I would. I would guess that you would not be very successful there. Just a hunch. This from Sooner in Lubbock. Do you think Garibay will go somewhere else?
I mean, it's to me the central issue here is it's not like it's Jonathan's decision to go. Hey, now I'd like to try over here. That's not a good performance. He had a bad camp. Period.
And when you have nothing really professionally to fall back on in terms of like, well, no, I was good last year in, you know, college. Tampa Bay camp or the Chargers camp. You don't have that, right? You're only kind of mark on your professional resume is, yeah, you got cut.
And it wasn't good.
And hopefully I'm wrong, right? Hopefully he lands someplace else and they pick him up and he does awesome. But I would guess that probably he's looking at coming back to some camp next year as like a tryout kind of deal.
Long shot, you know. But and I don't know enough about how established the USFL XFL thing's gonna be. But I'm sure something like that might be in order as well. But because I think I heard that the Cowboys are bringing in 4 dudes. One of them a former OSU kicker, Oklahoma State, and so there's the point right there. I mean, the Cowboys are picking 4 kickers off the kicker tree for training camp. And so there's a lot of bodies to pick from. And it's just what you're saying. These are all dudes. One of them was a guy that kicked for Cowboys a year or 2 ago, something, you know. And so
Brett Maher.
Yeah. And that's your point right there. I mean, our guy, Jonathan, had a really good year at Tech and he kicked a 62 yarder, which we all are still ecstatic about, but and he's got the leg to be able to handle kickoffs, which is a big deal. But I mean, like the misses evidently were
egregious.
And they rose to the point of being the talking point for the media, the beat reporters for the Cowboys. Not this or that catch or this or that. Like, well, the kicking was a disaster yesterday. You know, so I hate
and
it for him.
And has he done enough to be on that kicking tree?
Right.
Whenever some other team is looking for a kicker, or is he not even on the tree because of how poor this camp went for him?
Yep.
Somebody says this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Garibay has been cursed by signing with the Cowboys. this on the chat line. First off, Garibay will go anywhere he's asked to go if released. He's not Cowboys or bust. Yeah, clearly, for sure.
Sure.
And hopefully his phone's blowing up.
Yeah, if his phone rings, he's probably not. But it may be. Everybody's got a lot of kickers in camp right now. Everybody's probably in more of a elimination mode than a, hey, let's add more mode. And all of the dudes that just got added or that were on the list to be added were just added by the Cowboys. They're not bringing in a guy. They're bringing in 4 guys.
And you know, this was a big problem for him last year, right, that position. And, heck, the year before that and the year before that, a little bit discouraging that they haven't.
And they spent some money on Zuerlein. You know, like Zuerlein was the dude, Greg the Leg, right? And then he really struggled and, yeah.
We'll have Rangers baseball coming up for you at 6:30 here on Lubbock's Sports Station there in Houston. Take on the Astros. We'll also have the Astros version of that broadcast on 100.7 The Score beginning at 6:40. This is Tech Talk.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com or through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. This might be a day, Gus, where we look back 6 months from now, 6 years from now, whatever, and go, that was a BFD. That was a big freaking deal. We don't know what the ripple effects will be, if there are. Maybe there aren't any. But a potentially kind of, I would say even seismic day.
Yeah,
in college athletics, and this hasn't been officially announced yet, but now more and more details are trickling out about this Big Ten media deal that we've been talking about breathlessly.
Yeah, some numbers sure, starting to get speculated. Yep,
for 2 months plus, and especially in the last month and, you know, however many days since USC and UCLA announced their departure for the Big Ten. But it's coming out now that the Big Ten is close to finalizing a media agreement. It's already locked in with Fox. We knew that part. Mm-hmm. And so really the only question mark was, okay, will there be a streaming component? And, you know, who will get their, like, second tier games? Fox remaining the main media partner, and the Big Ten is close to finalizing new agreements with CBS and NBC. And the top line of this, to, you know, aside from the gigantic dollar figures being thrown out, is that you will no longer see Big Ten home games, right, on ESPN. You won't see Big Ten basketball on ESPN. You won't see Big Ten conference games on ESPN. Only time you'll see a Big Ten game, or Big Ten team rather, on ESPN is either in the playoff or if they're playing some kind of non-conference game at an SEC team, at an ACC team.
And that ends a 40-year relationship.
40 years.
And I think about it, and I mean, when I think about Big Ten's relationship to ESPN, my first thought are all of those basketball games over the years. And I know that's not what's driving this conversation, or it's not the primary driver, but just how many of those, you know, Indiana, Purdue, Bobby Knight, Gene Katie, right, you know, all of those kind of classic, a lot of Big Monday and all that stuff, poof. Now, is this a good thing for the rest of us? Perhaps. Especially out here in Lubbock, Texas, right? In these, in the Pac-12 / Big 12 has to be saying, hey.
Right, because now ESPN, they have however many channels that they have a lot of inventory.
They have money to spend.
They do have money to spend. And, you know, as much as they own the SEC and the ACC, still have more slots to fill, more rooms to fill with their inventory. And so is this good news for the Pac? Is this good news for the Big 12? And then you also still have Fox out there, who I think still wants more college football inventory. But, I mean, just for their CBS deal, the report is that it's a 7-year, $350 million deal just for one afternoon game on Saturdays, right? So the 2:30 CBS game, which has been in the past, and I guess will still be this year, the SEC, it's like the big SEC game.
Yeah, the Haven.
That's going to be a Big Ten game.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so they're paying $350 million a year for that game. That's big dollars. And so, you know, you could have, it's going to be very NFL-like, frankly.
Well, and it matches the speculation that we had talked about, I think last week when you were gone, but you and I certainly talked about it on Friday, that the idea of the Big Ten stacking up a Fox game at 11, a CBS game mid-afternoon, and then the wild card in all this is where NBC comes in with Notre Dame, or if Notre Dame says, hey, that sure is a lot of money. We'd like to be a part of that conference finally. That's the next big thing here. But if they're able to stack up Big Ten game, Big Ten game, Big Ten game on three major broadcast over the air antenna type networks, however you want to describe those, and then come back on Sunday night, which we're not talking about the NFL here, but that's the highest rated network TV program, that Sunday night NFL game, over the last 11 years. And so NBC / the Big Ten are about to have their hooks into some things right here. I think the other side of this is Peacock's association with NBC, the Peacock Network, may very well point to the streaming part. Now, that part isn't really known. There may still be room for Peacock and Amazon. Who knows? But, you know, the Big Ten also insisting on some exclusivity in time frames. Like, they're not going to have a ton of games going on at the exact same, in those exact same windows. Of course, FS1 is involved as the Fox partner. Big Ten Network's still around. And so, if you're a Big Ten fan, there's going to be a lot of football on all day long. And then if you start thinking about the idea of them having some West Coast games a few times a year, being in that 9 o'clock window, the speculation last week was that if the Big Ten does what everybody thinks they're about to do, the SEC is going to go, oh. You know, like they're sticking their finger in the SEC's chest with this move.
Right, because I mean, there are so many kind of different avenues we could explore mm-hmm. based on this. And we've got, you know, yeah. 3 more hours,
got
thankfully.
Time.
But, like, the irony of – and maybe irony is not even the best word. But I find it to be very, I don't know, delicious that, you know, Texas jumps to the SEC for – financial reasons, right? Culturally, Texas is not the SEC. Like, the University of Texas does not fit culturally in the SEC, period. But they're going to make a lot of money there,
sure.
right? And it's competitively the premier conference in college football, et cetera,
sure.
But I find it amazing that Purdue is going to make, that hell, Rutgers is mm-hmm. going to make more money from its conference affiliation than Texas will.
And from the
that's just delightful.
Well, yeah, that is funny, and it's also a sore spot that lots of folks have speculated about since the USC-UCLA move, for sure, you know, over the last month when we've had nothing but time to talk about this, but the idea that some of those old ACC partners are looking over there at Maryland and Rutgers going, oh, wait, what? That those dudes are going to be making twice what you're making? And the answer to that is yes. And I think that so the next big domino here is Notre Dame. And I think that also drives then perhaps the Stanford as Notre Dame's partner, Oregon, Washington. Yeah, because there's no real and I'm not saying this is all I'm trying to throw this into on the same clock as the USC-UCLA thing, but I just think that's the next move here, because the Big Ten being as aggressive as they're being, if they get those three more properties out there on the West Coast, that gives them five teams that could be playing. At least one of those teams could be playing a late night home game.
They're going to blanket the
They'll blanket Saturday. That clock.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, truly, from an 11 a.m. kickoff, of course, their pregame show, you know, that could perhaps only grow. We don't know, but they you know they're not trying to phase that thing down. They're going to keep trying to ratchet that thing up. But you would have 13 hours of Big Ten football.
I've always lamented how opaque like the TV motivations are. The motivations of Fox and ESPN beyond just like making money hand over fist. We don't get like a regular like TikTok of, no, this is how they're feeling or this is what they're kind of wanting or whatever. But imagine this, right? Because Fox is the dominant partner with the Big Ten, right? They own part of the Big Ten network. They are thick as thieves with the Big Ten. If you're Fox, right, would you be interested in engineering a scenario to where you shut out ESPN from the western half of the country?
Yes.
Right? Because you could say, all right, hey, Big Ten, go get some go get Oregon, UW, Stanford, you know, Cal if you can't get Notre Dame.
Right.
We'll keep your payouts the same, and then maybe we can encourage the four corner programs to go to the Big 12, and we'll pay the Big 12 a good chunk of money.
Yeah, I like it.
Right? More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
All guests here by the Benchmark Hotline will be discussing the reported details of the Big Ten's new media rights deal. They will be involved with Fox, CBS, and NBC, which is pretty monstrous. Jeff has this on the chat line. Divided by 16 programs, that will be about $22 million per school per year. The talk for the Big Ten has been about possibly pulling well north of $100 million. So either NBC and maybe more so Fox, we're going to have to come up with a lot to get north of 100, maybe. Well, you're right. It's kind of this process where, you know, they'll get X from Fox and Y from NBC. And again, I mean, $22 million per school per year for
from one network. Yeah.
Time slot.
Right.
Right. For one game a weekend.
Don't worry. There's more coming.
That's gigantic.
Yeah.
Right. That's a gigantic amount.
It's going to total up to $100 million or more, right, per school.
Yeah, because you also have the streaming component to this as well, and that could still be an Amazon or an Apple or, you know, NBC with Peacock. So, I wouldn't to me, the takeaway from today is not that, oh, they're going to undershoot that $100 million mark. That's not my takeaway at all.
Oh, no. Yeah. This is and just the to me, the just that they're checking every box in terms of all the time slots, the idea of maintaining, you know, or working the narrative is that they're working as best they can to create exclusive windows. In other words, they're not going to have five games going on at the same time. Probably a couple, but and there was also part of that was the idea of asking for four Friday slots, I think, instead of two, and they were trying to get someone in addition to the Iowa Nebraska game on Black Friday. They're approaching other schools about playing a game there. So far, apparently, based on the reporting I saw, they haven't had any luck with that. But but they're canvassing this thing, and that's why I'm saying, like, the only thing that's not really announced in this deal is just getting all over that late night time slot with more teams than just the UCLA-USC thing, you know, the 9 o'clock kickoffs. That's all that's left here. And this is just an aggressive move right here, no doubt.
So now you wonder what's next because now you have the pack up, right? They're already able to negotiate their next deal. Their exclusive negotiating window has either expired or has been extended, depending on who you believe and what's been reported. And the Big 12 will be on deck here in a couple of years when they'll be able to start negotiations, I think, in 2024. And so now it's like you have this whole western half of the country, essentially, up for grabs. And, you know, if you're ESPN, if you don't get anything in the pack, then you're shut out of the West Coast, right? Of the Pacific time zone, of the Mountain time zone, right? If you don't get any Pac-12 stuff, then or any Big 12 stuff, then anything really west of the Mississippi, I guess short of, like, Missouri, is dark to you. You don't have anything.
And I just don't see that happening. I don't think they're getting shut out. I mean, it's too easy of a move to make. And so, it's, you know, as all of this comes back to our interest in Texas Tech, where does that leave us? Obviously, our desire would be that the four corners teams and perhaps a couple more come our direction and create a league that's very appealing to ESPN as opposed to the Pac staying together and picking four teams or picking some from the Big 12, pulling it their direction. I mean, if you're, again, we've talked about what would be an Armageddon scenario for Tech, and that would be it, us not being the four chosen to go to the Pac-12, but that didn't seem to be heavy on the speculation.
We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line from T-Money 806. The Big 12 relies on ESPN. They will be dead in the water. ESPN tried all it could do to disband the Big 12 last year for the AAC. They are most assuredly still butthurt over last year's egg in the face. Somebody else says this. If I understand correctly, Fox would have Tier 1 rights. NBC and CBS would share Tier 2 rights. And the Big Ten Network would be Tier 3. NBC and CBS are paying $350 million each, meaning the Big Ten's Tier 2 rights alone could be worth about $45 million per team per year. $45 million plus whatever Fox, the Big Ten Network, streaming, etc. Yeah.
Yeah, rest assured that Fox has the primary seat at the table.
Yeah, and so it's like a draft, right? Like they'll sit down at some kind of conference table, whether it's in person or over Zoom or a conference call, whatever.
Every week.
And yeah, or they'll do it like before the season for some of these games and go, all right, Fox gets to pick, you know, first, and then maybe they alternate NBC, CBS, right? Or maybe CBS paid a bit more, so they always get the second pick. And then they just kind of go, and that's how it works.
And Fox says, yeah, we'll be taking Ohio State and Michigan. Of course, again, we're talking about 2 years from now, but they'll be matching up all of the, here's Ohio State, Michigan, UCLA, USC, Nebraska. You know, hey, you guys can have the Indiana-Purdue game.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And it's going to result in a lot of money. And so now you wonder, how much is independence worth if you're Notre Dame?
That's the big one out there, no doubt. And it's really been the speculation for the last month, like your move Notre Dame. But now that dollar figures are getting attached to this.
And how do you feel about NBC paying big money and presumably, right, using primetime, air windows to deliver Big Ten content versus Notre Dame?
And this isn't Notre Dame's not NBC's only dance partner now, even if they do stay independent. Like, okay, yeah, but this week when you play Podunk State, you may not get the most desirable time slot anymore.
And it's interesting because now, you know, the Big Ten has this relationship with NBC, and, you know, NBC's going to be playing these Notre Dame games, and Notre Dame's playing like, I don't know, what, six or eight ACC teams every year? That's got to be a weird spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as we know, ACC is all in with ESPN. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. That is a great Olivia Newton-John song, Aaron. Oof. Come on, guys.
Oof.
Somebody else says about Magic by Olivia Newton-John. You guys are too young to appreciate good music.
Oh, I'm 55, man.
I don't know that I would die on the Magic is a great song hill, but you do you. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Awfully bold of y'all to assume that ESPN cares they won't get the West Coast. Yeah, I guess it's more to do with not having that late night window for a power conference game. Now maybe they'll just say, well, the Mountain West is fine. I don't even know if ESPN has the Mountain West. Come just think of it, that might be CBS Sports. But I don't think that they care about having Cal football, right? Make no mistake about it. But I think it's about that broadcast window that they don't have access to. You know, and
with
then
three
and then,
TV networks.
And then how yeah. I mean, just off the top of your head, of the SEC and ACC programs, more than half of them are in the Eastern time zone?
Oh. Yeah. I mean, it's probably easier to count the ones that aren't in the Eastern time zone, be Missouri and Arkansas, both Mississippi's, Alabama, Auburn.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure about Tennessee or Nashville's in the East.
So you're not going to be putting them
no.
at like a, you know, 9 o'clock kick, you know, Eastern time. Somebody says this in the chat line, Sky Nectar falling in West Lubbock.
Yes, please.
How about that?
Open up and dump. Yeah.
Yes, hopefully it does.
And to your point, that would be 10 o'clock Eastern time.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's, I think... Clearly, we don't know what's going to happen. I think that we will look back on this day, though, or this week, or this moment, when it's announced, or when it's official, whatever, as the catalyst for something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's going to be like, okay, Big Ten's going to get paid, and now PAC is going to get a little bit of money, and the Big 12 eventually get some money, or whatever.
That seems too orderly and linear.
Yeah. And I don't know... Still, I mean, if you're ESPN and Fox, do you benefit more from... the status quo remaining? You know, like, does Fox and ESPN benefit from, you know, ESPN going all in on the PAC and Fox and ESPN going halfsies on the Big 12?
Seems like they're playing to win right here.
This in the chat line from Steven. Lots of artists use auto-tune now. Makes Milli Vanilli look totally legit.
Well, Milli Vanilli's deal. I thought their controversy had more to do with they weren't even their vocals.
Yeah, they were just the face.
Yeah.
Girl, you know it's girl.
Yeah,
it's...
that was the famous yeah. deal when the recording got stuck and they were hosed. Yeah, that, but I'm not saying to the Texas point, but
that was also a terrible song, by the way.
Their controversy had everything to do with it not being their voices. Like
ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, not ever. Not like Britney Spears, apparently, like in a lot of her concerts, it's all, they call it sweetened. You know, they're kind of singing over the song and all that. The Milli Vanilli dudes never were involved.
They were never in a recording studio.
I think, yeah, maybe one of the two guys had piddled around with a little bit of a solo career after they were done. But yeah, there's a heavy dose of auto-tune these days. And some of that's intentional. Who's the rapper who just...
T-Pain, baby.
There you go, T-Pain. Like, that's his shit.
And y'all's band uses a lot of auto-tune too, right, there, Clint?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, it's a lot like Milli Vanilli. We're all just the face
nice.
Of a band that people Ooh. Don't really know Ooh. Who they are. Just
interesting choice.
Did you say woo?
I said I was more like a hoo boy. Yeah, like
a hoo. I'm a beautiful face.
On that with that red hair all over it.
Lightens up the room.
Does.
I'm glad that you've accepted that you have red hair also, that you didn't fight that.
I do on the beard. The beard is red. The head is not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It's the same color, dude.
It's not.
Bad news, bro.
If I shaved the beard and shaved my head and gave you the clumps that were left and put them side by side, you could see, okay, that one is not red.
Prove
that
it.
That one is red.
Prove it.
Deal. Give me a razor, bro. You got one right now? If we use the same one we're doing for the back, though, I'm going first.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm not worried about, like, contaminating my back hair. When, what do I care? We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the EH Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com or through the TT973 mobile app. Presented by Happy State Bank. Yes, even Jeff Haxton is now posting video. It's opening up and dumping. Wherever he lives in Lubbock, that is what is happening.
Open up and dump.
That's what's happening.
Please, yes. Canvas the city for a while.
Let's see. We had this in the chat line. It's hard for me to believe that there are that many people who would want to watch the garbage Big Ten football product. 90% of that conference's value has to come from Ohio State, Michigan, and now USC. Well, I mean, don't underestimate, you know, programs like Iowa, Yep. Wisconsin, Penn State.
Probably Michigan State.
Michigan State.
I will say to his
Nebraska.
To his point and to your point, the teams are good. The brand of football that you usually see when you bring up in Iowa is so just. And I don't know if this is where he's coming from. Just like hit you over the head.
Yeah, but
boredom.
But if you're an Iowa fan, you're still going to watch.
Sure.
Right. This
sure.
isn't about capturing like the neutral fan. This is about capturing, you know, universities and fan bases that are very, very old and very, very large. I think that if you look at it, if you broke it down by living alumni or whatever, I mean, don't underestimate those Midwest state schools, right? Those are old, established. Yes. They got a lot of folks. And while you could not pay me enough money to watch an Iowa football game, you know, there are a lot of Iowa fans.
Yeah, and those are, you said it, Ohio State, and I actually saw some commentary about this yesterday. Sprinkled in was the New York City is in the Big Ten footprint comedy.
Yeah, right, my rear end.
One thing about New York, though, on the media market size, they've got $7.4 million TV sets in that media market. That's slightly more than Dallas, Atlanta, and Orlando combined, which is amazing. That's a lot bigger than I would have guessed, but we're not including Penn State in that. Penn State needs to be very much included in the you know, the big brands in that conference.
Sure.
And a lot of those big state schools, as you said, with a ton of history, they have 500,000 living alumni. Those are big numbers. And it's one of the and by that measure, then if that's one of the strengths of those Big Ten schools, then where's some love for Texas Tech with our 300,000 living alumni? Is that right?
I don't have an accurate number on that. I mean, I'll take your word for it. That'd be great.
But if that's a feather in the cap for the Big Ten schools, then come on with Tech and Oklahoma State. You know, and the next time that this conversation is centered on the Pac-12 is going to come and pluck TCU and Baylor out of the. They got 7,000 students every
year. Yeah, so I just wouldn't,
or whatever.
I wouldn't put too much on the type of football that they play because, Tech could run the option, right? And we're still going to watch, you know, especially if they win. And if you're in Iowa, if you're a Wisconsin, if you're a Penn State, if you're certainly Ohio State or Michigan or Michigan State, you've won fairly recently. Not necessarily national championship, but you've won 9, 10, 11, 12 game or 11 ball games every year.
And there's a crap ton of those alumni are in Chicago as well. I mean, that is fuel for all of the metrics that we hear talked about. They've got major markets, they've got big alumni bases, and every school in there except for Northwestern has that. Northwestern is the one smallish private school in that deal. Every other one of those schools is great big historic state schools.
It's when you think of Midwest football, right, you think of big linemen, right? You think of just big people. And that's what the Big Ten is, right? It's a bunch of big universities.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. Would love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. You can also access that through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We'll talk some more sports in a little bit, but right now we're going to find out what's good. You know, some people will do anything for, you know, their 5 minutes, their 15 minutes of fame, right? Some folks will do anything to, you know, go down in history, you know, and be remembered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that rises to the level of, you know, historic achievements, right? Or unrivaled feats, or the first one to do something very impressive, like circumnavigate the globe, or
yeah, like your guy today.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you know, cross the Antarctic or something. This is not one of those stories.
That's a lot of setup to say this is not one of those.
Gregory Foster has set a Guinness World Record. A strong stomach there, Gus?
Oh, no. Come on. You know what? You know what
you
I
like
can do?
Spicy foods?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, not... Yeah.
Not like Five Alarms spicy.
I've gone like third from the top at B-dubs.
Okay. Yeah. That's something.
Yeah.
Gregory Foster has you beat. Clint, are you a big spice guy?
Yeah, I mean, I know when
That's
I'm
unusual
out...
for a ginger, right?
Maybe for a redheaded Kansan?
I know when I'm outmatched spice-wise, but I enjoy, especially Cajun seasoning. I like putting in the spice.
Gregory Foster, in 1 minute, ate 17 ghost chili peppers.
Oh.
This goes out to all the juggalos and the juggalettes. Whoop, whoop.
Are you serious? Those things are supposed to be just...
And I'm watching the video of this, and he's just
Is
like...
Is he just like the hot dog contest? Where
it's
you
like
just
they're
go,
Cheetos. Cluck, cluck, cluck.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's supposed to be brutal. Those are the ones that they're like
Man.
1,000 times hotter than a jalapeno on that scale.
He must have loaded up like a Costco pallet full of wet wipes before that.
Oh my
I mean, goodness
God.
Gracious. Can you imagine?
Oh, my. Did we get any reporting on the aftermath?
I guess he's still alive.
Is he just checking out with all of these wet wipes? Like, oh, kids, huh? No.
No,
peppers.
Ghost peppers.
God.
Oh, boy.
And that's just the burning going down.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about the...
No, at the back end. Yeah.
I'm not even going there yet. I'm just like, what's the boiler like?
Open up and dump.
What's the gut full of what's the gut full of that thing like?
He took in almost 4 ounces of ghost pepper.
God almighty.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, like, I might do that if I was in the emergency room with the people standing there. Holy cow.
Yeah, a ghost pepper is over 1 million Scoville units.
Yeah, there you go.
I would love to know, like, inside the brain there, if he was like, I know this is going to hurt, but this is going to make me famous, or if he's like, this is going to make me famous, and I bet I can do it.
And I might not die.
Like, a jalapeno, for the sake of comparison, is about top end 5,000 Scoville units, and the ghost pepper... is over 1 million.
So 200 times hotter. Am I getting
a
that math right?
Yeah, I don't. God, I don't do math.
I can't even.
And then how about this? You know what's terrifying? Like a naturally occurring event that can't be predicted.
I can think of
and
a
could
lot
be
of...
like devastating.
Yeah.
Sinkholes. You know, heck, there was a story not that long ago of a sinkhole that opened up under like a water park, and it did not end well for somebody. But a massive sinkhole in Chile has authorities puzzled. 656 feet top to bottom. You could fit the Washington Monument inside this deal.
Yeah, I was thinking the Gateway Arch is like 630.
It is nearly 100 feet wide, which is almost twice as wide as the Washington Monument is at its base.
That's
like,
scary.
Look at it. It's just like...
That's like a... That's just like a hole in the earth. That's a sci-fi movie.
It's like
right
somebody
there.
Took one of those fence pole deals and just, you know...
Yeah, like a post hole digger.
A gigantic one.
A 600-foot post hole digger. I mean, that's like a car falls into that and it takes 10 seconds to land.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, back to the Woodman Scott feud. Clint just take his chair apart and hide shrimp in it and then put it back together. Problem with that, though, is you're affecting other people with that kind of prank.
And he sits in the same office with him.
That's, yeah, I sit right behind. Everybody thinks that I've, like, done, Choice has built it up, that I've done all these horrible things. The worst prank that I've pulled on him is I hid most of his bobbleheads, which there are a lot, in different parts of his desk. So every time he opened his desk, there was a different bobblehead in the drawer. That's, like, the worst thing I've done. And everyone has told him, like,
you killed his dog.
You beheaded all of
him. Put a fish in his truck. That'll be funny.
God. This in the
poop
chat
in his
line.
Shoe, that'll show him.
Yeah.
Bullfighter says, I bet that didn't feel good coming out. Yeah, there's I would need to be in the hospital for that particular incident. Somebody else says, come on, ice cream. Someone says, ghost pepper guy after that. Quote, I want an ice cream cone. The waiter says, okay, what flavor, sir? And he responds, doesn't matter, I'm not going to eat it. this in the chat line from Robert. How much milk did he need to coat his stomach afterward? Yeah, I don't. I mean, that's
milk of magnesia.
Man, that is. I'm not anti-spice. I just can't. I can't have it distract me. Like, it can't be so overpowering that it. You know.
I still want to be able to taste. Like, I want it in there for flavor, not because I'm going to kill you with this. I'm going to die after I put this amount of spice in here.
You ever watch the thing on YouTube, The Hot Ones, where the celebrities eat the hot ones?
Yes, yeah. Hilarious.
And they talk. Oh, yeah. They do an interview. Yeah.
And it's like the first five or six are not bad, and they get kinda to the fun, one that just totally kicks their rear end.
That's the one that made Shaquille O'Neal apologize to Kansas. Kansas doesn't know about spice. Sorry, Kansas.
Now we get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Somebody says, Dennis Dodds says that we will have more expansion before the season starts.
There you go.
Sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
This on the chat line, will the Big 12 outlast the Pac-12? I would put my own money on that. Not a lot, but I would throw down a 20 on that happening.
It sure feels like there's going to be a winner and a loser in that deal, you know. And I don't think the facts of today's Big Ten media rights news changes that. I think there's still a fundamental. What's left of that league if we're about to have two, three schools jump to the Big Ten? Then that league is really gutted of a lot. Then what's left of the four corners in Oregon State and Washington State, and I can't believe that someone, as you said earlier, that ESPN wouldn't sort of orchestrate, hey, why don't you guys get over there and we'll do this deal. And it still gives ESPN what they covet, which is some West Coast time zone. Covet may be a strong word, but I 100%. They got an ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPNU. That they want stuff going on.
Yeah, plus ESPN3.
Yeah, true. Yeah. They're not walking away from that late night time slot.
This might not. It might not be smart. It might not work out. But man, I'd love to see what happens if the Big 12 just takes San Diego State and then just kind of sees what happens. You know,
if we sort of did that by taking BYU this time last year.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Check out Double T 973.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.